This podcast is brought to you by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Well, we have heard from several companies over the last few years that they were going to be focusing part of their efforts around ESG, environmental, social, and governance. But there has also been a backlash against some of those companies by leaders on Capitol Hill that focus of those companies are askew, that they are not focusing enough on what matters most, especially to shareholders, and that is profits, the bottom line. But just how much is ESG and the conversation around it impacting the bottom line, especially when you talk about things like quarterly earnings reports? Sergey Nedesin is Senior Vice Dean for Innovation and Global Initiatives, as well as professor here at the Wharton School. He co-authored some research that investigates that question specifically, and he joins me here in studio. Great to see you. It's been a while since we've done this face-to-face.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dan. It's exciting.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. All right, let's start out with the backstory on doing this research. And obviously, ESG is such a hot topic right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Very controversial topic and hot topic. And I think the biggest issue is how do you even measure if the company is kind of a good with respect to ESG or not so good, right? There are lots of ratings that various agencies publish, but we thought that we wanted to do something new. We are living in the age of AI now, and AI can do lots of things. So what we did in this paper, we basically looked at earnings calls, which happen every quarter. And we analyzed earnings calls for about 7,000 companies over the course of 16 years, 2005 to 2021. It's a scary number, but we actually looked at 10 million sentences.
Wow.
And we used the AI model. We used a deep learning model, which basically read all of those sentences and tried to figure out how much companies are talking about ESG. So that was kind of the backstory. We wanted to use new technology to help us analyze this question of what does ESG have to do with the value of the company.
And so in looking at the paper, it seems like the area to look at where you're trying to establish that question of value focuses on either material or non-material ESG factors.
Exactly. And this is really crucial because the kind of the thought that we had going into this research is that there is a big difference between material and non-material statements. And, you know, material statements are it's something that matters to company's performance.
Yeah.
There is an organization called Sustainability Accounting Standards Board that sets 26 ESG-related themes. And it says for every industry what's material and what is not material, what matters and what doesn't matter, right? So if we take, say, greenhouse emissions, right? And you're an energy management company, clearly greenhouse emissions matter for you. So you should talk about this. You should probably disclose something about it. But if you're an advertising company, can you really impact greenhouse emissions? Well, probably that's not material. And that's what accounting board tells us. For some industries, it's material. So for some, it's not.
And so it's the non-material component that, in terms of the reaction by the shareholder or by the public, can have a negative perception, negative connotation with the day-to-day and the bottom line impact of the company.
So we found two things. First of all, when you talk about material ESG topics, it actually improves company's value. And we measure value by Tobin's Q, which is, kind of a standard, more or less standard way to look at company's market value relative to its replacement or book value. And so, but when you talk about non-material ESGs, it actually decreases company's value. And this effect is twice as strong as the positive effect when you talk about material ESGs, which is really, really striking. So kind of our finding is it's not that talking about ESG is good or bad. It kind of depends if you talk about material ESGs, good, non-material, very, very, very bad.
So how do you handle then both of those components, especially when there's so much focus in general around all components of ESG, and somehow if you're a company that is talking about ESG and there are material elements, you would think that the shareholders would invariably touch on or want to know about elements that maybe are non-material.
What we see, companies vary a lot in how much they talk about material versus non-material, you know. We see that, for example, you take a company like Nike, and remember there was this big disaster about Colin Kaepernick around 2018.
Yep.
And we see that around that time, Nike starts talking about non-material ESGs a lot.
Yep.
You know? On the other hand, you take a company like Microsoft, they are surprisingly stable. They talk about the same amount of time about material versus non-material. Doesn't kind of deviate much. Or you think about a company like Bank of America. Bank of America was recently criticized by Republican politicians that they're not focusing enough on what matters to the company. They talk too much about non-material ESGs, and that's what we find. We look at the graph, and you see that they talk more and more about non-material ESGs.
It has to be more and more of a challenge than every year. Because the expectation is from the public or from shareholders that they want these companies to be on top of a lot of these issues. You mentioned Nike. Nike is such a broad-based company when you think about the shoes that they're producing, the clothing items they're producing. But then again, they are so much in the public eye because of advertising and marketing and the connection with sports that something like what happened with Colin Kaepernick, as you mentioned, kind of brings them into that, whether they intended to do so or not.
Right. But if you look, for example, at Nike and how much they talk about material versus non-material, non-material is something like 20 times more than material. Yeah. And that's really striking for some companies. You know, I mean, I'm sure you should talk about maybe boss to some extent, but 20 times about, you know, that kind of raises eyebrows. And what we did, actually, we created a little app on the web, which is freely available, and you can go and you can look up any company. We actually compiled all the data. You can say, I want to look at Nike, and we'll give you a nice graph, and it will show you how much Nike talks about material versus non-material.
How important, then, is the conversation of material versus non-material right now in kind of everything that's going on? And is there a I don't want to use... Using the word benefit is probably wrong, but is there an advantage to maybe staying away from non-material conversations?
That's what it looks like from our research, right? If you should by all means talk about material ESGs.
Sure.
And in fact, there was a real SEC clarification, and it concerns material ESG. It's a long document, 600-700 pages, where they basically describe everything that you have to say about material ESGs.
Right.
Instead, what we are seeing in the data, on average, an average company talks 2-3 times more about non-material ESGs than material ESGs. And that, I think, is a mistake. That, I think, is probably not a good thing.
Is the expectation, though, that the path we see right now is that there is more of a push to talk about the material side, especially, I'll use the Nike example again, because there's been a lot of conversation about the materials that they use in their products or labor issues in other parts of the world as well, that people and companies need to focus on the material side, because the non-material, while they are still important, can end up being at times for some companies a little bit of noise in many cases.
And moreover, it's a cost, right? It's very often a cost. Let's say, you know, you have a company that has nothing to do with, you know, saving penguins in Antarctica, but it spends a lot of money on that, you know?
Yeah.
That's clearly a cost, and it's clearly non-material to whatever the company does. So that cannot be a good signal to shareholders, to the public, right? Mm-hmm. And rightfully so, that's what we find. If you talk about those kinds of topics, then value of the company decreases.
What do you think then this research tells us about the conversation or just the kind of the landscape around ESG at the moment?
It's really strange and confusing, because we find huge differences by industry, how much a particular industry talks about material versus non-material.
Right.
We clearly see an uptick in the last couple of years. There is a sharp increase in how much non-material ESGs are highlighted. So clearly something not very good is going on there.
Right.
And we also, what our research shows is that talking about non-material ESGs is particularly bad if you are in a regulated industry. So the effect is much stronger, which kind of makes sense, you know, if you're in banking or, you know, telecommunications, something like that. So what we see is the trend is not good. You know, non-material ESGs are mentioned more and more, and what we show is this is going to hurt companies' value. So we believe that executives need to be focusing more on material ESGs, on what really matters for the company.
You mentioned a location where people can go actually and look at different companies.
Yeah.
How can people go out and do that?
Well, you can easily find our paper on SSRN, which is a, you know, free repository of papers. So you can find it. You can find the link in the paper, and right. I'll be sure to tweet or put it on X. I'm sorry.
That's right. I still call it Twitter too.
Yeah, and LinkedIn and link to the website and to the paper.
It is great to see you again. Thanks for giving us a few moments. Great that we can catch up here on campus today.
Great to see you, Dan. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Sergey Nedesin, who, as we mentioned, is Vice Dean, Senior Vice Dean for Innovation and Global Initiatives, as well as professor here at the Wharton School. To explore more content from the Wharton School, visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.